welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. Again, good morning. We're just so glad that each of you could be here with us this morning. And it's such a great song that we just sang because it really dovetails that Made Me Glad. That's like one of my all-time favorite worship songs because, you know, there are certain songs that speak to you in certain places. And you know, we didn't really plan this, but we're really going to be kind of talking about that. As we look at Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." Here's the same passage, I think this is amplified. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, on Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust." What a beautiful promise that we have in Him, that He who dwells in the secret place. There's just a bunch of stuff that happens as we're dwelling in the secret place. It's a place of stability. It's a place of strength. It's a place that we can run to, that safe place. Here's another scripture I just want to kind of bring in, kind of parallel with it. Psalm 61, 1 through 4. "Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." So these scriptures really go together so well because we kind of see that same heart cry. When your heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We get in these places and we know that we need God. That's all we know. We just know that we need God. Life is big. It's a big, dangerous place out there, but there is a safe place that we have in God and that we know that we need Him. And so this scripture, it says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And, you know, sometimes, even when our heart is overwhelmed, you know, we just need to get in His presence and let Him lead us to the rock that is higher than I. Sometimes it's like, man, what do I need to do? I know I need God. Do I need to read this scripture? Do I need to, you know, watch this? Do I need to listen to this? Or where do I start? You know? And sometimes it's just as simple as just saying, "Okay, God, here I am. I'm just going to get in your presence. Show me what to do. All I know is I need you. That's all I know. I'm just coming before you." You know, we've been, I don't know if you guys have visited the new tower, Peninsula State Tower that's out there, but us and the family have been out there a few times, the Eagle Tower that they rebuilt. And I'll tell you what, there's just something about going higher that you can see more. You know, when you go up in that tower, you can just see everything, golf course, woods, lake, you know, it's amazing. When you're on the ground, you know, you can't hardly see the forest or the trees. And that's the way it is when we're dealing with things, when the sirens are going off, all right? And we're hearing things and it's like, man, I'm just, Lord, I need help. I need to see things that I can't see right now. And what He does is He'll lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He wants to bring us up to a place of perspective to where we can see things that we can't see down here. And that's what happens when we pull into God. You know, a couple years ago when we had Kaylee and Caleb's graduations in Tulsa were like tag team. They were like 2 weeks apart. And so we were back and forth, and that just happened to be a month of tornadoes. And we had to take, you know, shelter several times. The sirens were going off because, you know, May in Tulsa is a very dangerous month in terms of tornadoes and whatnot. And there was one time when we were at the breakfast restaurant, and the just having breakfast, and the sirens went off, and I was going over. They had to have a TV in the restaurant just to see and get a little bit more clarification about the situation, and they were describing the location of the rotation of the funnel cloud that was still, I mean, it wasn't, hadn't touched down, but it was in the air, and as they described the intersection, it was like right where we were, and it was like, oh, wow. And all of a sudden, you got the sirens going off, and it's there, and it's time. And I'll tell you what, when the sirens are going off, you don't feel real spiritual at that time. You know, you feel everything but spiritual. It's confusing. It's like that. You know, I like to liken it to the snow globe. You know, when you take that and shake it up, you get all those flakes going in the air. That's kind of how you can feel during, you know, what do you do? Where do you start? And so when we think of this spiritually, you know, when my heart is overwhelmed, the sirens are going off. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? How am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do next? The answer is, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so this morning, you know, as we look at that, and I'll just kind of bring it back to that Tulsa illustration. When I saw the TV people, they said, the first thing they said, if you're located in this area, go to your safe place. Go to your safe place. And the safe place, there was like two safe places that we could have. There was a mall right across the street. But when the sirens are going off, you don't want to get in your car and do traffic and go to a mall. When the sirens are going off, it's a tornado isn't going to honor the red lights and the green lights. So you just have to kind of use your best judgment. And right there, we just decided at that point we needed to stay in the restaurant, and we kind of, you know, survived the storm. And it did actually end up touching down a few miles later, just a little bit. And I think it was in Broken Arrow or something for just a touch. But it was one of those times where we just had to know, Where's my safe place? Because when the sirens go off, it is important to know, where is your safe place? What is my safe place? And so this morning, that's what we're going to minister along the lines of. We're simply calling it the safe place. The safe place. Life is unpredictable. No matter how in the zone you might be, even spiritually walking with God, things happen, stuff happens. And we need to, like David, know how to find that safe place. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I need to know how to find that shelter in my storm. Now, there's some things that we know about this already, but I'm going to kind of go into some little nuances of it that I hope are going to help as far as, you know, pulling into God. It's almost cliche. You know, let go, let God pull in. It's okay. But we need to realize that this safe place is a real place. It's a real place of God. There is real peace that passes your understanding in this place. There is a real joy in this place. There is a real empathy of the Holy Spirit that's in this place that really strengthens you and comforts you. So the safe place this morning, we're going to start with what we're calling simply the safety of His presence, the safety of His presence. Jesus gave some instructions regarding prayer. He said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place or the safe place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Here's the message. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His presence. There are times when you come before the Lord and you know what you need to do. Like I've likened it to my office. I've got two chairs in my office. I've got my office work chair that's in front of my computer, my desk chair that's in front of my computer. And then I've kind of got this nice recliner chair. That's my devotion time chair, all right? And there have been times where I'm in my desk chair and I'm doing stuff and I'm frustrated and the sirens are going off and I hear the Holy Spirit saying, Ed, you got to get in that other chair. You know, you got to get in that chair. You know, you need to get into that secret place. You need to get into that safe place right now. And I've gotten into that other chair and I've been in that other chair and I've cried out to the Lord and I've experienced His presence and His grace and His joy. So glad that I got in that chair. But there are other times you can get in that chair And kind of like what he says, don't be tempted to role play. You can kind of get into a routine and you're trying to push the button, pull the lever so you can feel the presence of God and get in that sweet place, that safe place. And you're going there and you're in that chair, you're doing what you know to do, and you're not feeling it and you're not getting it. It's like, I'm in my safe place. You know, why am I still, it just feel like I'm me, but I'm not experiencing that safety and that peace and that protection. Now I'm just gonna tell off on me, all right? Why this happens sometimes. For God to be a safe place, this is gonna be very deep. For God to be a safe place, he has to be a safe place in your heart. There are things that happen in life, storms, situations, that cause those alarms to go off. And you go into your secret place and your safe place, or you know, trying to find that peace, trying to find that comfort. And I know when I'm here and I'm dealing with stuff, and I'm just saying, you know, Lord, help me. I just really want to draw near to you. I just really want to be connected to you right now. I've just had some, it's almost like I can almost sense my own heart, hardness of my own heart. Or we'll put it this way, an apprehension of my own heart. Because I've had to do some things at some times. Not always, but sometimes you need to do this. When you're in that place and you've been chased into that place by the storms of life and different things like that, people say things, people do things, people can hurt us, circumstance, situations, you can fill in the blank, whatever that storm is, you know, from a spiritual standpoint. But there can be a subtle frustration toward God as to why, God, why? I love you. I've been following you. I'm trying to follow after you. And this happens. Now, if somebody were to tell you, should I blame God for my problems? I would know the answer is no. I don't blame God. I'm not supposed to blame God. I know better than that. But just because you know something theologically doesn't mean that you can't, in your heart and mind and emotions, slip into that. And there have been times when I've had to say, you know, as you're in that secret place where I've had to say, Lord, I forgive so-and-so of doing this. It was wrong. They shouldn't have done it. I forgive them even as you have forgiven me. And also, Lord, I declare this is not your fault. This is not your doing. I don't blame you. You are light, and in you is no darkness at all. None. There is no evil. You are not tempted by evil, neither do you tempt any man with evil. Let no man say when he's tempted, he is tempted by God. That includes me and you and my situation and your stuff and all of our stuff put together and all of our scenarios put together. For God to be a safe place, there can't be a part in your heart and mind that's thinking, maybe God's doing this to me. If you do, you're going to begin to role play and come back to that safe, secret place because you know you got to because that's where your answer is. But there's got to be something deep in your heart that says, no, no, no. God loves me. The same God who saved me, filled me, blessed me, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not my heartbreaker. He's my heart healer. And I keep God in the right perspective. And for God to be a safe place, he's got to be a safe place. And there's times in our heart and mind that we got to clear that out. We got to clear that place in our heart emotionally, say, I don't blame you for any of this, Father God. There's no evil in you. There's nothing wrong. You've done nothing wrong. I know this might just seem obvious to some of you or whatever, but you've got to make that clear in your heart. Because it is so easy to see. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. But if you go back to the garden, the very first one he accused is God. Has God said he just doesn't want you? That accuser of the brethren who accuses night and day, the number one person he will accuse is God to you. Where was God? Why did God allow this? Why God? Why God? Why God? Now, I'm not saying you have the answers. I'm not saying I have the answers. But there's a peace that passes the answers, that passes our understanding, that keeps our heart and mind in Christ. But in the meantime, God is a safe place. He does love me. God is not some weird, twisted, mental, abusive behavior relationship that he's trying to control me with. He's clean. He's pure. He's light. And there's something about him, and I go back to that, and I just believe that about him again. He is truth. He is light. Simple. Simple truth. I know the enemy mocks this, but the Spirit of God will bear witness, yes. He loves you. He loves you. He is for you. And so there's a clearing sometimes that we got to do in our hearts as it relates to our relationship with God. Say, okay, Lord, you are not responsible for any evil in my life. I know it seems like if you have to say it out loud, clear your heart. You are good. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. For God to be a safe place, he's got to be a safe place with your stuff, with your situations. Is there unfairness? Yeah. Is there junk that goes on? Yeah, there is. But the one who we're escaping to, he isn't responsible for anybody's wrong decisions. Nor is he responsible for mine and your fleshly wrong, dumb decisions that we may have inflicted on other people's lives. The things that we've done wrong. We know that we're responsible. That's why we confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Because the same accuser of the brethren that's playing on your head toward other people is playing on their heads toward you. There is a big demonic confusion mess, and the way we get safety is we come before God and say, you're a safe place, Lord. And I just love that kind of the old psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is talking about a relationship with God. This is talking about, let me put it this way, letting God's voice come through. There's times where you go to God, and I got my situation, and I'm praying about it, and I know what I'm praying about, but there's a point, too, where you have to say, Lord, speak. My ears are open to what you're saying. And listen. Listen from your heart. You have the Holy Spirit, so you can know what he's saying. You know what spiritual things sound like. He'll begin to say things. Sometimes he'll begin to say just something very simple. I love you. I'm still with you. I'm still for you. You may not know how that's going to work out, but you know you heard that voice from God. You recognize fellowship with God. You recognize that Holy Spirit speaking to you. I'll tell you what, that relationship with God, if you've got that, you got everything. All you need is fellowship with God to be in that place, to be in that secret place. I don't have patience. You don't have patience when you're not in the safe place, in the secret place. But when you're hearing from God and you know that you know he said something, he gives you the grace and the patience and the things that you need for what he tells you to do. And there's going to be some things that you're going to get. This is why he says he makes me to lie down. He'll cause you to slow down on the inside. And he restores my soul. He's going to give me things. Sometimes you're going to get that. You know, you'll get that scripture, you'll get that, you know, that worship song. And let me say this too. Sometimes when you're in these places, if there is a certain song, it could be a message, it could be a certain scripture that really blesses you, it's okay to go back to that. Listen to that. Watch that. Let that stir you up spiritually. There's a connection there that can remind you and awaken you. I've had places where I've kind of been in this, you know, pity party with God a little bit, and I accidentally stumbled upon one of my old journals. And I was reading some things that God spoke to me 20 years ago. I'm thinking, wow, that's good. Who is this guy? You get in places in God and it reminds you of where you've been. It reminds you of who you are. And he's still the same. That's still me. God still talks to me. He still loves me. He's the same. Nothing's changed here. But for God to be a safe place, he's got to be a safe place. And he's going to return. He's going to restore your soul and lead you back to that place to where it's okay, I can trust him again. I don't have to figure everything out. I just need to know that you're a safe place, Father God. No matter what, I can trust you. Psalmist says, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with the songs of gladness, your joyous shouts of rescue. Release my breakthrough. That's why that song we were just singing this morning, he has made me glad. You're my shelter, my strong tower, my very present help. Sometimes there are just songs that bring you back to that place that you know God loves you, that God trusts you. But I don't want this to be cliche this morning. Oh, just go back and have your little devotion time with God and everything's going to be all right. You need to go back and know that you're in fellowship with God. You can hear God. Go back with your pencil and paper or your phone and your, you know, you can dictate things to your phone, whatever you get, whatever your means is. Go back with an expectation. God's going to speak to me. God still loves me. God's still for me. He's a safe place. And there is just nothing like that. No, being in fellowship with God and knowing you're in fellowship with God, there is a joy of the Lord that rises up within fellowship. There is something that puts a smile on your face, and it has nothing to do with the happiness of your surroundings. It's the Spirit of God. Lord, I'm talking. We're talking again. We're hanging out again. I'm getting stuff again. That's everything. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to bring us back to the garden so we could have that again. And that's his heart. That's so much his heart for you. Let me say this too. A lot of times when you're in these places, you know, Satan steals, kills, and destroys. One of the things that Satan goes after in terms of stealing, killing, and destroying in your life, I will say, and just in my life in retrospect, is your sleep. Sleep is a big deal. I've found that when I'm not sleep deprived, I don't have to resist near as many demons as when I just get a good night's sleep. There are things that when you just are tired mentally, that you don't get good sleep, the enemy plays on that. And sometimes there can be just some adjustments that you need to make in the natural. Get some good sleep. There's just some good natural health things here too, I just want to say, that you can do to just make sure you're getting some good sleep, good rest. It's a big part of it, you know. Julie and I joke that one of the best sleeping pills there is to watch Antiques Roadshow after 11 p.m. We love that show. I mean, we like to guess and all that, you know, and to find out where Aunt Mabel's, you know, candlestick from the Ming Dynasty is placed by the year. That's really fascinating in the afternoon, but after 11 p.m., that just will shut things down in your mind. You just fall asleep, so we always say, you know, whoever falls asleep first, the other one has to turn off the TV. But it's you know, sometimes there's just different things. But if you're dealing with some sleep things, be aware of that. You know, there's some things that you can do natural health-wise, but there's also things that you can do spiritually too that are so powerful and important. Because sometimes when it comes to sleep, you can get a fear of insomnia, a fear of not being able to go to sleep. And then, oh, I can't go to sleep. I know that I'm not going to be able to fall asleep, so I just want to even try. You know, you get into that. And, of course, enemy's right there, spirit of fear, that you can't fall asleep. It's one of those things. But one of the powerful things to do in just kind of helping you fall asleep is getting that scripture. You know, if you had to memorize a scripture to just get it mobile in your head that you could take with you, that's a good one to memorize right here, Psalm 23. Because when you get, I don't know how many times I've been trying to fall asleep and I think, oh yeah, I can just think the 23rd Psalm. And I'll just go in my mind, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And how many times I've drifted off to sleep remembering, you know, that was it. And that can be a safe place sometimes in the storms of trying to fall asleep. Just the Word of God, the Scriptures. Sometimes you can even get, you know, if it helps to just listen to the Word of God, you can listen to it, the audio of it or whatever, but God is there in the nighttime. He's there in the nighttime to help you fall asleep. He loves you. He cares. But pay attention to that, because sometimes if you're not getting sleep, you can come to some wrong conclusions that you wouldn't come to if you're just getting some good sleep. But God cares about that. And the Word of God, it will help settle your spirit down, help you to drift off. And then finally, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. For I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. It's one of the powerful things about these psalms is they have the ability to kind of empathetically connect with where you are in your soul. Well, I'm feeling this. Where is God? And that's what these psalms do. You're feeling that? Yeah. So did King David. You know, so did these other psalmists. They felt that too. This was how they cried out to God. But look at that. You shall hide me in the secret place from your presence, from the plots of men. And I love that. Keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. And we had that picture before with that nice house with the shield and all that stuff coming at it, you know. And to think of that, there are places in your soul where the enemy tries to stir you up. They said this, they think this, all that, the strife of tongues. But when you get in the presence of God and you're tuned into him and what he's saying and what he, and you're hearing and you're fellowshipping with him, there is something powerful about that. When you get out of that place of fellowship with God, and you know you've heard from God and you've got something and you hear some so-and-so think such and such, it just doesn't even, it bounces off you because that you're in fellowship with him. It's like a secret pavilion that he has before you. He said, for I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before your eyes. When the alarm's going off, you don't feel spiritual. Is God still there? Yeah, he's still there. He loves you. He's with you. And so there's a place in his presence that we experience as we're coming into his presence. And I've had that point too, where I've come into his presence, and the scripture says that Jesus is like he's a sympathetic high priest. You can come into the presence of God, and what does Jesus say? He says, we're to weep with those who weep. You can come before the presence of God and be crying in his presence, in a brokenness, and you can actually experience healing in the crying. Healing, because he's there and he's with you, and you can sense his heart. You know, it's almost like his spirit is weeping with you who weep. You sense his brokenness with you. I love you. I get it. I'm with you. I'm for you. You think of what Jesus went through. I went, you know, publicly beaten, humiliated. He knows it. He gets it. He's right there with us. And so there's things that we experience in his presence. And there's also a rejoicing that we get to. We come into that safe place, and there's just a rejoicing and a joy of the Lord. He is what? He made me glad. And I think to me, that's the essence of fellowship with God. You go into that safe place one way, and you come out another way. There's a gladness, a joy. And the joy, again, isn't because the storms have even gone away. The gladness is because I sense him. I'm in fellowship with him. I sense his voice. He's speaking to me. And so there's a safety in his presence, but then there's also a safety in his word that we realize. Jesus put it this way in Matthew. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The Message puts it this way. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. Now, he's talking about words. This is the other aspect that we can find that safe place in Him. He's basically saying, my words, if you hear my words, he who hears these sayings of mine, he says in verse 24, and does them is like a wise man. So we're pulling into the Word of God. We're pulling in to the very sayings of God. And here we see in King David's life, he had a situation. He said, oh Lord, how they've increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who save me. There's no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who set themselves against me round about. But one of the things that the other aspect of that we pull into Him and we find safety and help and comfort is when we declare what God has already declared for us. In verse 3 he says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I won't be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now you think about that. Now this is, David running, you know, a lot of times for his life, and you've got people that are literally trying to take you out. But think of this, I won't be afraid of 10,000s of people who set themselves against me round about. You know, if you just have one person who sets themselves against you, they can cause a lot of trouble in your life. You just have one person who sets themselves against you. And all of a sudden, it's like, how am I going to overcome this? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to... You could have 10,000 people that set themselves against me, and I'm not afraid, because you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. There are times when you may be dealing with things, people things, situation things, where people set themselves against you, or you're feeling like something is set against you, and you've got a narrative, and you're dealing with all this stuff. That stuff, that back and forth, is for one thing, the enemy is to distract you from God, to distract you from His love for you, to distract you from His relationship with you. Because when you got your relationship with God right, there is nothing, no one can do to you. There's nothing that He isn't a shield for you. They still have a free will. They can still say and do things. But it's not about what they say and do. When your happiness becomes about controlling what they say and do, you're in a mess. Freedom doesn't happen when you successfully try to control and manipulate what people can and can't do to you so they don't hurt you again. When your safe place is in Him, the rain can pour down, the river can flood, the tornado can hit, but nothing's going to move me because I'm built on the rock of His Word. He is my basis. He is my rock. He is my strong tower, my fortress. In Him I will trust. The psalmist says here, princes persecute me without cause. My heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. There is a rejoicing and an awe that is returned. We talk about getting connected with God and that relationship with God. Last week we talked about a steadfast, a determined faith is what we call it. The message is determined faith. And it is easy to take the Lord Jesus Christ, kind of related in His hometown. He came there. He could do no mighty works. People were familiar with Him. They knew Him. We can also, in our, just slip into in kind of a familiarity with the Word of God to where we don't respect it. We don't have the awe and appreciation of it. But here the psalmist says, my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. When you're going to that secret place and you're endeavoring to really connect with God, check your heart attitude toward the Bible. Sometimes you can find, do I want to get into that? Do I want to? As God restores that safe place, there's going to be a restored hunger for this word. Yeah, I don't understand it all. I don't get it all, but there's stuff I do get, there's stuff I do know, and the more I grow, the more I'm going to learn, and the more I'm going to know. There is going to be a heart stirring toward the Word of God, because when that Word isn't in like that awe, and that I rejoice in your Word as one who finds great treasure, well, that's very poetic and elegant. Is it true? There's a place, though, in God when you see things, and it's like, oh, that's what that means. Things that answer things in my heart. There's a restored awe toward the Word of God. Lord, I want to build my house in the rock. The rock is the sayings. Jesus said, if you keep these sayings of mine, so I'm counting these sayings as precious again. Even though I don't feel it, even though it's like, okay, here we go again. I'm just talking about emotionally. By faith, I'm going back. Lord, I love your word. And again, if you've got to declare this out loud, are we supposed to love the word of God? Yeah, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We know we're supposed to have a healthy attitude, but this is where we got to do a heart check. Because in the same way he is real and God really is a safe place, his word really is the word of God. And there's a coming back to this word. There's coming back to an awe and a reverence of this word of God. I mean, last week was pretty much just, it wasn't even a teaching, it was just an exhortation. Love this word of God. Get back into the word of God. Get back into the Bible again. Begin to read it. Begin to meditate in it. You know, the thing that I love about the Psalm 1 guy, it says, you know, of course he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of the sinner. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. We're not seeing a guy having a 24/7 devotion time. We're seeing a guy who has a delight in the word of God. There's a delight. When you begin to get excited about the Bible and just get stirred up, and I'm telling you, you just got to begin to eat and feed on this word again and just begin to meditate. There's an awakening. There's an quickening. The Holy Spirit begins to show you things, connect you to the word of God, because Jesus Christ is the word. The word is Jesus. And that's why I like, even when I see this passage, I read this passage with fresh eyes. Then Jesus said to me, come unto me, all you who weary are and carry heavy burdens. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And when I've always thought of that, coming unto Jesus, certainly I think of coming into his presence, come before the throne of grace, but there's also a coming unto his word. There is a coming unto his word, because this word is powerful. The word is living. You know that scripture, it's Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's a powerful passage of Scripture that refers to forgiveness and how we talk and whatnot. But I'll tell you what, if you go in your Bible and you look at that and let your eyes hit those words for yourself and just let those words begin to minister and feed your spirit and strengthen your spirit and the truth of that, then you, like David, when you begin to declare, no, Father, I'm not going to let any corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. That's the rock. See, there's the victim complex. There's all that kind of stuff that wants to make you feel sorry for yourself and begin to get into that bad, that dark place. But the rock that is higher than I says, let no corrupt word proceed out of my mouth. And I've got to have a reverence for the word. I've got to say, God, your word is true. Your word is true. Your word will always be true. I'm coming to your word again. I'm not teaching anything new here, per se. Again, it's an attitude toward the word of God. I'm coming back to the word of God. I'm not trying to find something new. I'm coming back to this word. I'm coming back to this word, and I'm letting this word establish me and be a foundation for me. Now, when I'm saying this, I'm talking high level. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to your devotion time? This is where you can let the Holy Spirit show you what this means. You can let the Holy Spirit show you. Ask the question. Say, Lord, you know, is there something I can do as it relates to my walk with you in your word that I can let that word be a foundation in my life, you know, to approach that word of God? Because there is nothing quite like reading and finding and seeing those things from the word of God that'll just speak to your heart. There was a great little song that had come out several years back. I think I got it here. Let's see if I might have. Let's see here. It was a song by, I think it was Mercy Me. Yeah, here it is. It's called Word of God Speak. It says, I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God Speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. That's the power of reading the Word, too. It puts you in a listening mode to where you got to hear what the Word of God is saying. Open you up to be listening. Because you'll hear things from this Word, and then you'll hear things when you're not reading the Word that sounds like this Word. And it's like, yeah, that's Him. I know Him. I know His voice. I know His voice. And that's when you become that firm, fixed place in Him, because His Word is the same. His Word is immovable. And so as God is calling us to a safe place, it's a safety in His presence. It's a safety in His Word, you know, that He wants us to pull into to know Him. And let me just encourage you. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in this world we live in, a lot of craziness, whatnot. I mean, day by day, it just seems to be getting, crazier and crazier, but there's nothing new here from God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the end from the beginning. He's not surprised by things we may be surprised by. And let me encourage you, stay on His narrative. Stay on what He's doing in the earth. God has a plan in this earth. He has a purpose in this earth. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a glorious church that's not tossed to and fro. He's coming back for a glorious church that believes in Him, that trusts in Him. And I know that we've got so much that play on us emotionally, mentally, and feelings. And this is where we've got to also just be aware of what we're opening ourselves up to. You know, this is not a bunch of rules and regulations of do this, don't do this, but know yourself and know what's safe and what isn't safe. You know, if you find yourself throwing things at the TV, maybe you need to turn the channel from that news broadcast or things, you know? Because there's stuff in this world that'll just stir us up, and there's places that God will just call us back to that secret place, that safe place. I don't have to solve all the world's problems. I don't have to figure everything out. But when I get back to that secret place, you know, Jesus' whole ministry was just the secret place. He just said what He heard the Father say. He did what He saw the Father do, and that was His ministry. And that's our ministry too. We get in the safe place, we say what we hear the Father say, we do what we see the Father do. And I've had that where Lord, what do I do next? And I've just had the Spirit of God just say, just get in my presence. Just get in my presence and listen for what I tell you to do next. And that's really the heart of this message this morning. We have that safe place. And the preciousness of that safe place isn't getting spiritual. It is fellowship with God. It's that I'm connected with God. God, I love You. And there's nothing in my heart that I want between me and You. Clearing my heart out and clearing my heart out with God as far as stuff, and then declaring, God, You are light. In You is no darkness at all. You're good in my life. You are for me. And if You are for me, who can be against me? And if You are for me, You're not causing bad things in my life. You're for me. You love me. You're with me. It is a very simple, pure love heart relationship with Jesus, hand in hand with Him. And I'm just saying that is the secret place. That is the safe place. That is the place that will make you planted like a tree. Praise God. That's the secret that Psalm 1 guy found, is that he just delighted in the law of the Lord. He delighted in the presence of God. I'm changing the subject from, I got to fix this and I got to get that person right. That's no longer the main thing in my life. I'm coming back to the safe secret place and saying, God, You're the main thing in my life. I love You. You've never forsaken me. Even if I've been faithless, You've remained faithful because You can't deny Yourself. You've never been unfaithful to me. No matter who has been unfaithful to me, You have never been unfaithful to me, ever. You come back to that simple place. Why? He has to be a safe place. If God is batting 95% with you, he's not a safe place. He's got to be 100%. He's God. And there's an awe and an awareness. You're God. Yes, Lord. I trust you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, that as we just speak about these things, just kind of stir up, Father, our walk with you, our relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I just pray for each one of us here today. Show us what this means, this safe place message. My heart's cry, Lord, today is that each one of us are just totally synced up with you, that you are good, that your mercy endures forever, that we can trust where you're leading us. We can trust your precious Holy Spirit. We can trust your word, Lord. And I just pray, go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I trust you. You are my safe place. There's no darkness in you at all. You never lie. You're never unfaithful. And your treatment and your love toward me has been and always will be perfect. You so loved me that you sent Jesus. You loved me then. You love me now. I trust your love. And I thank you that you're a safe place. Help me to draw near. I declare you are not at fault for anything wrong in my life. I don't blame you. You've never missed it toward me. You've loved me perfectly. And I see you that way now. And I rest in you, your safe place. Jesus Christ, today is my day. I'm calling on your name. I believe in my heart that you died on that cross for all my sins, but that the Father God raised you from the dead and you paid for all my sins. That where my sin abounded, your grace is much more abounded. It's not even close. I see it. I believe it. And I receive it. Cleanse me. Wash me. Receive me into your family as your very own child. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise.